This year will mark a decade since horror struck in Boston. On a day that is so celebrated in the city, the unthinkable happened. Why would someone bomb the marathon? And who is that someone who did it? On this episode, we will discuss the events of the Boston Marathon bombing, who caused it, and the 10 years following the tragic event. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you're listening to the Chronicles of Time. Let's dive into the devastating Boston Marathon bombing. Patriots Day on April 15, 2013, when the 117th annual Boston Marathon took place. This race is the oldest marathon in the nation, so it's safe to say it's a grand occasion. More than 500,000 people had lined the streets of Boston, watching 23,000 runners race over 26 miles. The race began at 9:32 in the morning and started with elite women runners. The race would continue all throughout the day. The day was lovely, and everything was as planned until 2:49 p.m. With more than 5,600 runners still in the race, one of the busiest times, a bomb exploded near the finish line. 12 short seconds later, another bomb exploded. Chaos erupted in the city. What was meant to be one of Boston's best days soon turned into terror. Families were separated, and blood was everywhere. Over 1,000 federal, state, and local law enforcement officers instantly launched an investigation. When the FBI arrived, they didn't want to automatically assume this was a terrorist attack, but when they discovered parts of pressure cooker bombs and BB pellets and nails at the explosion sites, they immediately knew what they were dealing with. The attack took the lives of three people, a 29-year-old woman, a 23-year-old woman, and an 8-year-old boy. All three of the victims were spectators of the race. The bombings occurred in the middle of 5 trauma hospitals, and between them, over 280 people were injured. Out of the injured, 54 had to have operations, and 16 of those people had amputations. The hunt was on. It was time to find out who did this monstrosity. One of the amputees was able to provide the FBI with the description of a man who had dropped a backpack near the explosions. The description, along with surveillance videos, were key pieces to the puzzle. The New York Post made a claim that a 20-year-old Saudi Arabian was a suspect of the bombings and that a law enforcement source had confirmed more than 12 people dead. Both of these claims were completely false and later denied by the police commissioner. They didn't even know who had done this yet, but they were getting closer. While watching footage, they see the described man with the backpack. When the first bomb went off, the man with the backpack had such a lack of shock from the explosion, it made him even more of a suspect. After watching more footage, they realized there are two men with backpacks together which would be holding the bombs. But who are these men? The FBI turns to the city of Boston for help identifying the men by releasing photographs of the suspects. The days pass, and all hell is about to break loose. The bombers of the marathon are brothers Tamerlan and Jahar Sanarev. The brothers are of Chechen descent and come to the States in the early 2000s. Jahar was a seemingly normal kid and became an American citizen in 2012. Tamerlan, on the other hand, was not fitting in America. He boxed a lot and was rather good at it. He had hopes to attain American nationality through boxing, but this hope was eliminated when a rule change barred him from national competition due to not having American citizenship. Tamerlan and his mother had a run-in with the FBI in 2011 when they interviewed the two of them because of a tip they received saying they are adherents of radical Islam. Ultimately, the case was closed due to not having enough evidence, but it was true. Tamerlan did in fact find a sense of belonging in radical Islam. A year before the bombings, Tamerlan took a trip to Dagestan. During this trip, something changed in him. He sought out people with extreme views in the Islamic faith. It was there where he felt accepted and respected, something he didn't feel in America. He came back to the trip with no job or aspirations. He would read the Al-Qaeda magazine Inspire and send his brother radical links to check out. He even read an article called Make a Bomb in the Kitchen of Your Moms. He and his brother Jahar actually decided to make bombs. They would buy fireworks for the powder, pressure cookers from Macy's, and nails and BBs from Home Depot. They constructed the bombs in Tamerlan's home a day before the marathon. There is footage of Tamerlan going to purchase the two backpacks used to hold the bombs at a local Target. After the bombing, the brothers go back to living their lives. In fact, Jahar went to a Whole Foods 25 minutes after the bombings to buy milk. He then nonchalantly goes to his college dorm and discusses the bombing with his friends, obviously not revealing that he is the terrorist who did it. Days passed, and all was fine until the FBI released the photographs of the suspects. It was only a matter of time for the brothers now. They take off in Jahar's Honda Civic and go to their family home to grab explosives, a handgun, ammunition, and a machete. After getting those, they decide they need another gun. They see a single officer in a police cruiser parked, so they shot and killed him in hopes of getting his weapon. They were unable to do so because of the way his holster was created. At this point, it's 10:30 at night on April 18th. They flee the scene and then pull up on a Mercedes SUV. Tamerlan carjacks the car and points a gun at the driver. He tells them he is the Boston Bomber and to drive. They stop at an ATM and take out $800 with the driver's debit card. They then go to a gas station where Jahar looks for energy drinks and chips, indicating a road trip ahead for the brothers. The driver is able to escape the car at this point and run into another gas station across the street. There, he calls the police to let them know what has happened. There was a GPS in the car, so the police were able to track the brothers. Once they found them, there were bombs thrown at the police and shots fired. Once Tamerlan ran out of ammunition, he was tackled by police. Jahar realized what was happening, and he got in the car and drove right towards the police. He missed them, and instead ran over his brother, ultimately killing him. With Jahar on the run, the city of Boston is placed on a lockdown. With no luck finding him, the lockdown was lifted. It was at this point 66-year-old Dave Hennenberry went to secure a loose flap on his boat outside. When he got close, he noticed blood and movement on the flap, and he called 911. The police instantly arrived, and over 250 shots were fired at the boat. Jahar comes out of the boat and was arrested. People gather on the sidewalks to cheer when the police went by with him. Their nightmare was finally over. The question on everyone's mind, why was this done? Jahar wrote in the boat a manifesto that reads, "The U.S. government is killing our innocent civilians, but most of you know that already. And we Muslims are one body. You hurt one of us, you hurt us all." But don't get this twisted. Although he may have believed he did this for religious reasons, this was strictly political. The brothers had planned the bombings, but had failed to plan any escape. In the end, Jahar ran his brother over and killed him, so he gets to live with that fact forever. He was convicted of 30 charges and sentenced to death, but an appeals court threw out the death sentence due to the possibility of jurors being influenced. But the Supreme Court reinstated the death sentence in his case on a 6-3 vote. As for Tamerlan, no one wanted him buried in their town, certainly not Boston. Ultimately, a woman helped move his body to an unmarked grave in Virginia. When the people of the town found out, they were absolutely devastated and shocked to have a terrorist buried there. My take is, why be buried on American soil if you hate and killed Americans? Isn't this the last place you should be? The day this travesty occurred was meant to be a joyous and celebrated day for Boston. Instead, the Sennarev brothers created terror and horror for everyone. The Boston Marathon still goes on every year because the people of Boston are extremely strong and deserve to have something to come together for. Jahar spends his day in a cell waiting to be put to death. We as a nation are much stronger than those heinous brothers. Thank you for listening to this episode over the Boston Marathon bombing. New episodes are out every Wednesday, and if you want more content, check out my Instagram or Facebook page. If you have any questions about history or episode suggestions, just email me at thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and thank you for listening to The Chronicles of Time.